Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to ID the Future. On this podcast, we're going to continue our review of the book The Language of Science and Faith by the neo-Darwinian theistic evolutionists Francis Collins and Carl Giberson. In a recent podcast, I noted that Carl Giberson and Francis Collins have relied upon some dangerous and historically weak arguments for evolution in their new book, The Language of Science and Faith. They claim that a pseudogene that has broken DNA has established conclusively that macroevolution is valid and humans share a common ancestor with apes. But given the many functions that are beginning to be discovered for pseudogenes, they may find that their argument for broken DNA itself becomes overturned by future discoveries. In fact, one of their main arguments for evolution in their book, The Language of Science and Faith, has already been overturned by discoveries. In at least two places in The Language of Science and Faith, Giberson and Collins cite scales evolving from feathers as evidence of the power of mutations. For example, they state, quote, "Over time, mutations in DNA can produce novel features, as we noted earlier, like feathers evolving from scales," unquote. But there's a significant problem with their argument. Even leading evolutionary scientists today have abandoned the hypothesis that feathers evolved from scales. The classical evolutionary model of feather origins did claim that feathers evolved when scales on reptiles mutated to become frayed. Somehow these frayed scales gave the reptile an advantage of increased lift, eventually leading to the evolution of flight feathers. The problem with that hypothesis is that feathers and scales are very different structures. Feathers essentially develop as hollow tubes that grow out of special follicles in the skin, whereas scales are flat folded skin that develop quite differently. Critics also argue that feathers are so well suited for flight that there would have to be many transitional stages between scales and fully functional flight feathers. A 2003 article in Scientific American by Richard O. Prum and Alan Brush stated that the lack of evidence for the scale hypothesis meant that the, quote, "long-cherished view of how and why feathers evolved has now been overturned," unquote. The article continues stating, quote, "Progress in solving the particularly puzzling origin of feathers has also been hampered by now what appears to be false leads, such as the assumption that the primitive feather evolved by elongation and division of the reptilian scale. The new evidence from developmental biology is particularly damaging to the classical theory that feathers evolved from elongate scales. According to this scenario, scales became feathers first by elongating, then growing fringed edges, and finally producing hooked and grooved barbules. As we have seen, however, feathers are tubes. The two planar sides of the vein, in other words, the front and the back, are created by the inside and outside of the tube only after the feather unfolds from its cylindrical sheath. In contrast, the two planar sides of a scale develop from the top and bottom of the initial epidermal outgrowth that forms the scale," unquote. Likewise, Gill's authoritative 2007 textbook Ornithology states, quote, "We long presumed that feathers evolved from scales of some kind, centering the debate on what advantages promoted the evolution of feathers from scales. Most likely, feathers evolved not as modified scales, but as a novel epidermal structure," unquote. The evo-devo explanation for feathers offered by Prum and Bush in place of the scale hypothesis is not much better than the original scale hypothesis itself. According to the latest hypothesis, feathers and other advanced features, which allow birds to fly, do not originally evolve from scales for the purpose of flight. As Gill puts it, quote, "Feathers did not evolve initially in concert with the evolution of flight," unquote. Instead, Prum and Bush's Scientific American article vaguely proposes that feathers provided, quote, "some kind of survival advantage," unquote, perhaps providing insulation for the organism. Their evo-devo model entails significant jumps in morphology, with the rachis, barbs, and barbules appearing abruptly for no apparent reasons. Since there is no flight until all of those structures are in place, it's difficult to understand what survival advantage these structures could have conferred. Failing to explain the evolution of flight feathers, evolutionists now expect us to believe that feathers and other complex features, which are finely tuned for flight, are mere accidental byproducts that evolved for entirely different purposes. In other words, birds just got very, very lucky. Additionally, proponents of the gradual evolution of feathers must explain a striking fact. The feathers of the earliest known birds in the fossil record are essentially identical to those of today's birds. Apparently, little change has taken place over eons of time, even though great amounts of change were required. While Guybrunson and Collins paint a rosy picture of the ability of mutations to produce new complex novel features, Prum and Bush make a striking admission in their Scientific American article that evolutionary biology is struggling to explain how such novel features arise, stating, quote, "The origin of feathers is a specific instance of the much more general question of the origin of evolutionary novelties, structures that have no clear antecedents in ancestral animals and no clear related structures, homologs, in contemporary relatives. Although evolutionary theory provides a robust explanation for the appearance of minor variations in the size and shape of creatures and their component parts, it does not yet give us much guidance for understanding the emergence of entirely new structures, including digits, limbs, eyes, and feathers," unquote. Rather than address or admit these significant problems with modern evolutionary biology, apparently Guybrunson and Collins have chosen to simply assert that feathers evolved from scales, a theory that is now disavowed by leading experts in the field. Ironically, the language of science and faith complains that, quote, "the evangelical literature is so filled with misrepresentations and outdated information about evolution," unquote. Well, if their accusation is true, then it would seem that their book's outdated arguments about feather evolution are not helping to solve that problem. I'm Casey Luskin. Stay tuned for more in this review of The Language of Science and Faith. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.